His love is without end. His mercy never fails. These are all attributes of the God that we serve, the God that we worship, the God that is present with us here right now. And just let His Holy Spirit just seep into you and connect with you and fill you as we worship here today. So welcome, whether you're here in person or you're here online, just welcome into His presence and experience His grace and His goodness. Let's hear from our readings.
Our first reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He may show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our second reading is from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Here ends the second lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Rather say 70 times seven times. Therefore, the kingdom of God is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any children are welcome to head out to Children's Church at this time with Marcy there and learn something at your age-appropriate level. And lead the way there, Ezra. Good to see you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, for your patience, for your grace, and for your love. We thank you for your word as well. May your word just speak to us, Lord, deep down inside, as we gather to honor you, to hear from you. Amen. God's grace. That is a very deep subject. Well, I guess if it's bottomless, it is really deep, isn't it? Okay, you always talk about a bottomless pit. Well, there isn't really such a thing, or else it would extend all the way through the earth, you know, out the other side, which would make for some great science experiments. I would just love to have a big pit that went all the way through the center of the earth. There's so many, you know, dropping rocks in there and stuff. Okay, yeah, there's so many things I'd love to do with that. But anyway, yeah, his grace is without limits. It's a beautiful thing. Grace, the definition of it many times is unmerited favor. Unmerited, we don't earn it. It's not on our own merit, and it's God's favor shown upon us. And we don't even realize how much of his favor we're living under. I mean, just to live here in the United States, of course, we take that for granted, for goodness sakes. There's other people around the world that have it much, much worse. To be born into a good family, as I was, that was solid in their faith, thank you, Lord. There's so many things that we take for granted that are just given to us from God freely because of who he is, because of his love. And if we could see all that, I think we'd be amazed. And maybe someday we'll be able to look back and see the places where he had us covered, where he was there for us without us even realizing it, how his grace is just flowing throughout our lives and hopefully flowing out onto others as well, unlike that unmerciful servant. So it's unearned, it's undeserved, we cannot earn it. We'll get into that in a little bit. And it's because of God, who God is. It's his nature to be gracious. It's his nature to be loving. It's his nature to be forgiving. And again, we're lucky to have a God like that. Imagine if you had an unforgiving God, a demanding God, one that says, do this or else. Yeah, we wouldn't have a chance as humans, would we? But we have more than a chance. We have Jesus. Grace, you can think of things like justice, grace, and mercy. Those three sort of go together. God is a God of justice. With justice, you get what you deserve. And God is the God of justice. We do get what we deserve. Well, we would if it weren't for Jesus. If it weren't for the grace, if it weren't for the mercy. But that's what justice is. The justice system, the judge has a certain guidelines that he or she has to rule within. They look at all the evidence, they hear the testimonies, etc., and then they make a decision that this is going to be the sentence. And hopefully the punishment fits the crime. It should be proportional. All right? And God is the ultimate in justice. He is just. He is holy. There is no darkness in him. Grace, on the other hand, instead of getting what you deserve, with justice you get what you deserve, with grace you get what you don't deserve. We don't deserve all this. But God is gracious, therefore we get it. It's the bringing in of a positive, the grace, the favor that we haven't earned. Mercy, on the other hand, is similar, but mercy is not getting what you do deserve. If someone has committed a crime like this guy in the gospel here, he owed his master so much money and he begged for mercy and he gave him mercy. He did not give him what he deserved. He deserved a punishment. But instead, it was a removal of a negative with mercy. So grace and mercy are similar. Grace, again, is something positive coming that we did not earn. Mercy is something negative being taken away, again, that we did not earn. It's an act of mercy, an act of grace by someone that's in a position of authority. They have every right. God has every right to expect us to do the right thing. And we try, okay? As brothers and sisters in Christ, we try and we build each other up. We try. So it's this unlimited gift from God. It's humbling to us. Again, we can't earn it. And it's an act of love because of who he is. Grace also declares us righteous. We are not righteous before God. We are sinful creatures. Now, we had old sin we used to live in, perhaps, and we've left those ways. We're now following God. We're still going to sin. It's going to happen. We're humans. But he made us righteous. He declares us righteous through his grace, through Jesus Christ, the only one who can make us righteous. Because we can't make ourselves righteous. We can't be good enough. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it in any way. It's only through what Jesus has done and us accepting that, that we can be made white as snow, that we can be cleansed and be fit to stand before God. It's a beautiful thing, God's grace. So in Ephesians here, Paul is writing to the people of Ephesus. And he spent a fair amount of time there, got to know them well. He did some other writings from there. And he's reminding them what they used to be like. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. There but for the grace of God go I, right? I can look at what I was like earlier in my life when I was not following God with my whole heart or for the right reasons. And now I'm trying. You know, and it, yeah. And nobody's beyond his reach. I love seeing that. I got a friend over in Glenwood who drank for years. You know, he's always at the bar and things like that. And one day, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. Step that aside and start head down the right road. Now he's testifying about it, telling others about it. I just love it. It's just God at work, how his whole life was changed around. And that's what's happening here. These people that were dead in their transgressions, they are gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, were nature by nature objects of God's wrath. So yeah, they're following the ways of this world, and they're out there, absolutely, 100%. Every one of us has at least probably stepped a foot in that one time or another, maybe walked down that path a little ways, and then God brought us back. Well, I'm not going to say he brought us back, because even if you walk 10 miles down that path, you don't have to come 10 miles back. He'll meet where you are. He'll get you on the right path from there. He'll lead you into eternal life if we give of ourselves, if we receive and believe, make that connection with him, give our life to him. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what happened here. The people were turned around. They were given that hope. They were given that second chance. These first three verses are telling about the ways in which they used to live, following the desires of the flesh. And again, many people are still doing that. You don't have to look very far out there to see it. But there's a turning point. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us. There's the reason. Because of his love for us. Because he loves us. God, who is rich in mercy, endless in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, even when we were still following that sinful lifestyle. He met us there, even died for those who were sinning, right? And then, it is by grace you have been saved. By God's grace, by his favor, by his goodness, that we have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Okay. In that order, that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. That phrase there, incomparable riches of his grace. Again, his grace is without end. It's like the universe. It just goes on in all directions. You can't describe it. It's a beautiful thing. Expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. There's where we see his grace. By sending Jesus to take our place, to die for us, to take our sin upon himself, to die that horrible death, that we may live. And not just here, but have life for eternity, right? Again, he repeats it. And when you repeat yourself, it's usually something important, okay? When someone says something more than once, they're trying to get your attention, they're trying to drive the point home. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved. He already said that. But can he say it enough? Probably not. Again, realizing that it's by God's grace that we have been saved. And here he adds, through faith. So faith plays a very important role here. We have to have that faith. We have to believe. And faith is a beautiful thing. It's something that, it's a belief in something we can't even see. As a scientist, I like quantifiable evidence. I like something I can weigh, something I can work with, something I can measure. God doesn't work that way, okay? He's not quantifiable, and we can't see him. We can see his existence everywhere, evidence of his existence. It's all around us. We can experience him. But after I'm left with that experience in the Spirit, I have no evidence, no data to show anybody that it actually happened. It's just a crazy thing, the way that God works in the Spirit. So this faith then is the evidence of things not seen, right? We can't see things, but we have this faith. We know how real God is. We've experienced it and can't get enough of Him. So this faith is then linked to the grace. If we have the faith, if we don't have the faith, okay, it's not going to end well. Faith will get you to that grace, to that salvation through Jesus, but faith will also lift you up and get you through this life as well. You know, something that we have in this life that carries on into the next. It's beautiful. Okay, so we've been saved by grace through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Gift. A gift. Something that's given freely, without expectation, just because you care about someone, you give them a gift. Well, you could also give a gift to try to earn favor with someone, all right? And that would be the motive matters, obviously. The motive matters. But this kind of gift is just given out of love. The gift of God. Not by works, we can't earn it, so that no one can boast. And you say, hey, I'm more of a Christian than you are. Or, you know, I'm more saved than you are. No, it doesn't work that way, okay? No, we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift us up, right? Okay, so we can't brag about it. And if we are to brag, let's brag about God and what He's done in our lives, what He has done. Not what we've done, but what He has done. All right? So that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. More on that to come. We're going to hear about that. So getting that straight mindset here, getting that mindset, it's not about us. We can't brag about what we've done. It's about what God has done, and let us lift Him up. So this was important for Paul to write to the Ephesians. He's not the only one that he told this to. In his letter to Titus, it echoes this. It echoes it beautifully. So it's important. He's telling it to Titus as well in Titus 3. One of the maybe lesser known books of the Bible. Maybe we should go through it sometime and preach it. But maybe that'll happen in the future someday. So he starts out in Titus 3 here. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We too. He's including himself. Not saying, I'm better than anybody else. Got to remember, Paul was all about hunting down Christians, torturing them, watching them be killed and stuff like that. Until he had that life change, that encounter with Jesus that changed his life around. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. This is echoing Ephesians, right? We're living in sin. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Again, so what God did, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Because of His mercy. Again, grace and mercy, very close to each other. Both are unearned, both are undeserved, both are a gift. Mercy not giving you what you deserve. Grace giving you what you don't deserve. Both of them are just because of the goodness of God that we sang about, right? The goodness of God. The grace of God. There but for the grace of God go I. That saying. Yeah, when you look at the openings to this passage and the other one, you look at the way we used to live, and that would still be me if it wasn't for the grace of God. There but for the grace of God go I. And let those be reminders to us. Let those instill in us then a thankfulness that we are no longer that person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? I am a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. We are no longer that way. But let us not look down on others that still are. Let us instead give them a helping hand to pull them up. Let us tell them about Jesus and what He's done for us, to give our testimony. Maybe they won't listen. A lot of people out there want to continue in their sinful ways. It's all around us. They're rejecting God for other things. Proud of their sin even. You know, pride is a sin, but when you're proud of your pride, that's even worse. That's multiplying it. But no, let's not look down on them. Let's offer them a helping hand to pull them up, to give them hope, to give them a shot at eternal life as well. Everybody gets to make that choice, right? You know, God selects us, but He will not turn anybody down. Because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Again, the role of the Holy Spirit, when that's awakened within you. Yeah, that changes everything. you got a new look on life. And you're seeing it in the Spirit and feeling it in the Spirit and living it in the Spirit. When we poured out on us generously, he generously poured out through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, again justified by his grace, yeah, to God be the glory, right? We might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. We not only in this world will we have positives, but throughout. Alrighty. So it's, and I want you to stress these things, okay, to bring it to others, to proclaim it. To proclaim it. Don't just keep your faith to yourself, proclaim it. Now you can drive people away by preaching your faith at them. So we gotta show our faith through our mercy, through our grace, through our goodness to others, through the way that we bring peace to situations. Show our faith, live our faith. Alrighty. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Absolutely. When we're doing what is good. Like that shirt says, be kind. Just by doing that, you're being a Christian, okay? Well, there's more to being a Christian than just that, but that's going to be the logical outcome. When we have been saved by faith through Christ, then we will live in this new life. We will be kind to others, and we're going to seek to lift them up and pull them up to where we are. Alrighty. So there's work to be done. And that's what we heard in the gospel here today as well. In this gospel reading, the word grace is not mentioned. Instead, it's shown. It's shown that unmerciful servant who had been forgiven much but was not willing to forgive others. He had been given grace, but he did not show grace or give grace to others. When his master canceled the debt, he canceled part of it? No, all of it. Completely forgiven. That's us with God. Your sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. Well, actually, I'm going south and north here, but okay. As far as the east is from the west. There we go. Okay, your sin has been removed. God doesn't even see it anymore. Completely forgives. Completely, well, I can't say he can forget anything, but it doesn't even enter into the picture. Complete forgiveness. Not partial. Complete forgiveness. Let us learn from that as well. When we forgive others, may it be complete. Where we've released our hold on it. It's now in their hands. Alrighty. So this person had been forgiven much, but yet was unwilling to forgive others. What do we do with the grace that we received? What do we do with the forgiveness we received? We go out and show grace to others. We live in the grace. 1 Peter 4:10 talks about that. I'd mark that one. Alrighty. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Yes, we have all been given different gifts, and we are to use them for God's glory, not for personal gain, for God's glory, to give glory to him, to serve others, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. So God's grace can come to others through us. Wow. That's sort of humbling. That God would use me in that way. He's going to use whatever gifts you have to show his grace, to show his mercy through you to others. That's great. Each one of us should use whatever gift he has received, we're all pieces of the puzzle, to serve others, like Jesus, always to serve, faithfully ministering God's grace in its various forms. So yeah, we show his grace to others. And it's easier to show grace to some than others, of course. Some are easier to forgive than others. If someone is unwilling to do their part, it's a little tougher to forgive. But, hey, it can be done. And you can have freedom as a result. Elsewhere, Peter talks about grace. He says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Again, pride is sin in his eyes. But he gives grace to who? Those that humble themselves, right? To humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. To acknowledge him as God, not us. To follow his ways, not our own sinful nature. So God opposing the proud. You won't want God opposing you. That'd be the worst person to have opposing you. I mean, there's no way you're going to win. But gives grace to the humble. Good thing to remember. Okay. Where else do we have the opportunity to give grace? Everywhere, okay? One of the things you see today, unfortunately, is how people respond to being cut off in traffic. Okay, that thing called road rage. Or even at the boat landing rage sometimes, okay? But yeah, road rage. We have a choice. We can respond by letting our human side take over through, well, you know, I'm not going to, various ways, or else we can show grace. We can show grace. And hopefully that shows who we are. Maybe the person won't even realize it, but if they do, they'll just say, hey, thank you. Maybe, or maybe they'll do a little introspection realizing they were wrong. And if you've got a bumper sticker that says something about Jesus, please don't engage in road rage, okay? Show the grace, show the forgiveness, because you're setting an example for all of us, okay? So when we show that grace, also we should acknowledge the source, giving God the glory in all that we do. Not taking glory for ourselves, not taking pride in what we do, anything like that. It's giving him the glory, the one that deserves it. We love because he first loved us. You could say we show grace because he showed us grace. We forgive because he forgave. He initiated, he started, he gives us the example to follow. Once we experience it, we experience the grace, we experience the forgiveness, we experience the love. It should just be a natural thing for it to pour out of us onto others as well. To show them, you know, hey, look what I've got. Let's look at this. Now experience it, okay? Here's some grace for you too. Here's some peace. Here's some forgiveness. We should be showing these attributes of God. As we seek to follow him, as we seek to become more Christ-like, we should be living in that. Again, it's a powerful example to others. How would this story have ended differently if the unmerciful servant had shown grace to the one who owed him a little bit compared to the lot he was forgiven? Yeah, it would end very differently. He would not be thrown in prison until it was all paid back. But everybody could live happily ever after, as they say, huh? Well, they're still going to be human. They're still going to have a human life, but you know what I mean, okay? It would have a much better ending. Don't you like stories with a happy ending? This one, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. So, when we show grace to others, again, the motive matters. It's not to build ourselves. It's not to try to earn anything with others. And it's not because we have to. I suppose Jesus told me to, so I have to love you. I have to show grace to you, even though I don't want to. Okay, no. This is going to be from the heart. It's out of who we are now that we have undergone this change. From the heart. And that's how it ended here, right? This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Showing forgiveness, showing grace from the heart. Not because you have to. Because you want to. Because you've been changed and it's the right thing to do. We want to show grace to others. We want to love others. It's because it's who we are and what we do. Let's put it that way. As we are changed to be more like him, it becomes who we are and what we do. It's just going to be a natural result. It's going to flow out of us because we have experienced it. Alrighty. So give thanks for God's grace and give it to others. Amen.